All right, we're going to start here on Daf Gimel Aleph, where we left off yesterday. We're at seven lines up from the bottom of the narrow area. So the Gemara asks a question. You have an Eved Kanani who is half free and half still an Eved Kanani. Shekidesh Bat Chorin. Went ahead and had made Kiddushin or established Kiddushin with a Israeli, it's a free woman. What's the din with regards to this marriage? Is this a viable marriage? Is this Kiddushin Tovsin over here? So Gemara says, well, Imtim Salomar, if you would say by a Ben Israel, a regular Jew, Sha'amar the Bat Israel, who went to a regular Jewess and said, Hitkachi the Chatziai Mikudeshet. He says, be Mikudeshet to half of me. In that case, he is Mikudeshet. Because what do we interpret? We say, the reason he said to be Mikudeshet to half of me is because he says, you know, I intend to marry other women also. So when I says half of me, it's not that he's not taking this woman in her entirety. She's taking this woman in entirety. He's just telling her that there's a possibility that there might be other women involved here. In that case, we say that it is a good Kiddushin. So that, the Gemara says, but even if you say in that instance it's a good Kiddushin, why the Chazia Lekulei? Because this woman can, or is ra'ui, to be mitkadeshet to all of him. Halo chazi lekulei, but here by this Eved Kenani, who's half Eved Kenani, half free, right? He is not, doesn't have that ability, because no matter what he does, he can never be ra'ui to have his entirety be part of this Kiddushin. So maybe that's a failure here, meaning that the Yisrael has the ability to have his entirety make the Kiddushin. That's why it's a valid Kiddushin when it only says half. But maybe this Eved, who says, Bimit Kadesha to me, and he can only offer half of himself, that won't be valid. Vim Tim Salam, but the other way around, Ben Yisrael, a regular Jew, Israeli, that goes ahead as a Mekadesh Chatzi Isha, goes ahead as Mitkadesh, half a woman. Eina Mikudesha, that fails, that Kiddushin fails. Goes over there, how are you going to interpret this? That the woman is saying, I'm only going to be married to you, but I might be married to other men. That's not possible. A woman cannot marry two men. So there's no way she can leave over any portion of the Kiddushin with regards to her. So therefore, in that instance, it will fail. The Kiddushin will fail because the woman did not marry him in her entirety. But maybe that's because the Shire B'Kinyan, nope. Because this Israel who goes to marry this woman is leaving something over in the Kinyan. Because she could have been married in her entirety. The fact that it only took half, that's a failure in the Kinyan. Ha, Eved, but this Eved is doing everything he can. In the half that he's allowed to make Kiddushin with, that he's allowed to offer Kiddushin with, he's doing 100% of that half is offering Kiddushin. Ha, Eved, lo shir b'kinyano. He doesn't leave anything over in his Kinyan Kiddushin. So, Mai, what's the din with regards to this Kiddushin between an Eved that is a person who's a Chatzi Eved Kanani and Chatzi Ben Chorin that's Mitkadesh, or is a Mikadesh, a Israelite woman? So, Tashma. So we'll do a case that we've seen a number of times. In this case, the Gemara will also answer up a question that we had earlier on Daf Mem Bet Amud Bet. That is, Heimit Misha Chetzio Eved, Chetzio Ben Chorin. If a short kills someone who is half, again, an Eved Kanani, half a Ben Chorin, Notein Chatzi Knas L'Rabbo, gives half the Knas to his Rav, to his Adon, his master, who owns half of him, V'Chatzi Kofer, and a free person who's killed by a shor, they pay the kofer, the killer, the mazik, the owner of the shor, pays kofer the value of that individual, liyorshav, to his offspring, to his inheritors. So we had asked yesterday, Amen Bet, how does a ger have yorshim? So Gemara says, V'yamart kiddushav lav kiddushin, if this chatzi eved kanani and chatzi ben chorim can never get married, never have kiddushin, yorshim and alay, how does he have inheritors? So the underlying assumption of the Gemara here is that he cannot have Kiddushin, he will not have Yorship. Now, truthfully, that's not the case. A person, even if he has a child out of wedlock, that child is still his Yoresh, even though he does not have Kiddushin. Same with the Mamzer. A Mamzer that's born out of a Rayut, where Kiddushin are low tapse, nevertheless, he's still a Yoresh to that person. So why is it that we're connecting between Kiddushin and Yerusha? So Tosus over here says that's because we're dealing with an Eved Kanani. And when we deal with an Eved Kanani, if you want the child to be mityaches acharav, right, to be considered his child, it must be that he is tofes kiddushin. Because when it comes to arayot, when it comes to any other type of marriage where it fails, the kiddushin fails somehow, that's because there was a possibility of establishing kiddushin in that instance. Since there's a possibility of establishing kiddushin in that instance, therefore the person, the child that is born out of that relationship, even though those two people maybe didn't have Kiddushin or can't have Kiddushin. Nevertheless, since they are both Ra'ui LeKiddushin, produces a child that's Mityaches Acharav after the father, and there will be Yerusha. That's not true here by an Eved Kenani, because if he's a full-fledged Eved Kenani, then the child is not Mityaches Acharav. It doesn't go after him. So the only way that you could have a child that's Mityaches after an Eved Kenani is if Kiddushin were Tofsin, because that's the only thing that can assign the child or the Yoresh to this Eved Kenani. So that's what the Gemara is saying here. If he didn't have Kiddushin here, Yorshin Minole, he would not have any Yorshin. So Amar Avadar Bravo, Kishasu. What are you talking about? Why do you have to say that it's a case where it's Kiddushin? I can give you a case where he can get paid the Knas, and he won't have to go to Yorshin. What's that case? Shasu Trefa. Not that he literally killed him, but he made him to a Trefa, so he was effectively dead. When he's effectively dead, then you have to pay they'll pay the Knas. Umay Yorshin Nafshei. It doesn't mean Yorshin mean to his inheritors, meaning that he himself will take possession of it. Yorshin here means him, because he's the one who collects. He's the Yoresh to himself. And therefore, he will collect the Knas, because he is a Trefa now. So Amar Rava Shtei Tshuvot Badavar. Says, I have two problems with your position, Rav Adar Baba. Chado de Yorshav Ktani. First of all, it says Yorshav is inheritors. He's not an inheritor of himself. That's a nice way to interpret it, but that's just not the meaning of Yorshav. Ve'od. And number two is, we're talking about Kofer who. Kofer is only paid, and by the Pasuk says, by Mita. Right, where it's someone who is killed. V'harish Lakish. Right, Amar Rish Lakish, Amish Talam El-Lachar Mita. Kofer is only paid when someone is dead. So a trefa does not collect on kofer. So how could you suggest that the answer is kofer going to a trefa? He's not dead. There is no kofer, number one. And number two, it says Yorshav and not him. So he says, I don't like your pshat. Ella Amar Rava. No, Rava says, Ra'ui l'tov ein lo. No, truthfully, what the case is that he is entitled to Knas, and the Knas should go to his Yorshim, Yorshim being his inheritors, but he doesn't have any inheritors. Since he doesn't have inheritors, then the amount of money, or the money stays by the mazik, the one who gives mazik him, because it's hefker, right? The possessions of a ger are hefker, and therefore the mazik takes possession of it first. He owes him the money, but now he takes possession of it, and therefore he won't have to pay him. So that's what Rava says means Yorshav. Yorshav means ra'ui, to go to his Yorshim, blitov ve'ein lo, but he doesn't have any Yorshim, so it doesn't go to them. Now, Rava, and it makes a statement. Amar Rava, k'shem shemekadesh chatzi isha eina mikudeshet, just like one who marries half a woman, it doesn't work. So too, someone who marries a woman who is half free and half a shivcha kananit, that's not a valid kiddushim. So if a regular Yisrael goes to marry such a woman, that will not be a valid kiddushin. So Darosh Rabba Bar Rav Huna went out and was Doresh this din of Rava. That what? Kashem Shem Mekadesh Chatz Ishaina Mikudeshet. Kach Chetzia Shivcha V'Chetzia Botchorim Shenit Kadesha Ina Mikudeshet. She's not Mikudeshet. So again, because just like when you try to marry half a woman, doesn't work. Over here, you're also trying to marry half a woman. You can't. You don't have Kiddushin with the Shivcha side of her. You only have Kiddushin with the Batchorim side of her, and that's only 50% of her, so it doesn't work. So he went out and darshaned as such that Rava, then Amalei Rav Chista, Chista came and challenged that the drusha of Rabba v'Rav Huna, meaning that also Rava's position. Midomi, how can you compare the cases? And this is what we had said in the Gemara above. Hatam Shir Bikinyano, when it's a regular Jew, Israeli, marrying an Israelite, there when he marries half of her, he's leaving over a portion of her in the Kiddushin. Hacha Lo Shir Bikinyano, but in our case over here, he's not leaving over any portion of the kinyan. He is mikadesh, the entirety of what he's entitled to, that half of the woman who is free. So, hadar ukim rabba bar huna amora le. Since rabba bar huna went and placed an amora, meaning an interpreter or a megaphone, there was a person that he used to tell over the shir to, and that person would speak loudly to the people or speak in the language of the people. Either way, he was the person when you wanted to give a drasha, you'd use an amora. V'dorash, and he made a drasha. V'hamach shela azo tachat yodecha. Says in Yeshayahu, he's talking about that there won't be, everything will be destroyed, and they'll find someone has like a piece of clothing, and they'll tell him, listen, you can be the head over here. You'll rule over these ruins. So what's a machshila, these ruins? So that's what Rabbi Rav Huna interpreted the pasuk meaning machshila, meaning refers to Torah. Ein adam omed al divrei Torah, elam ken nichshal behen. That a person is only able to get to the truth, or to get to the true understanding in the Torah when he makes a mistake in the Torah. Not that he has to make a mistake, but by making the mistake, now he's able to understand better what he did wrong, and now he'll have a real kinyan on that Torah. So that's a machas shayla zo tachiyadecha. When you make a mistake in Torah, then you have a real acquisition of Torah, because you won't forget what made you right, make this mistake, or you won't forget what you did wrong, and you always remember the true interpretation. So even though we say the halacha is that a person who has kiddushin or tries to make kiddushin with a woman and only says I want to be mekadesh half this woman, it does not work. But when it comes to half a shivcha and half a bat chorim, shenit katsha, kedusha, kedushin, that is valid kedushin, because, my time up, atam shir bikin, you know, in the case of Israel and Israelite, he left over a portion of the woman, which doesn't work. Hachalu shir bikin, you know, but in our case, he didn't leave anything over. He married, or he had kedushin with the entirety of the woman who he's entitled to, and that's the chatsi bat chorim here. Amar of sheshes, kashem shemekadeish chatsi yishayin emukudeshet, kach chetsia, shivchat chatsi bat chorim, shenit katsha, in kedushua kedushin. So he agrees with the position of Rava over here, Rav Sheshet, that just like it doesn't work getting married to half a woman, so too getting married to a half free woman and half shivchananit will not work. Well, if someone comes and tells you, well, I have a proof that you're wrong. What's the case of shivcharufa? Zush chetzia shivcha v'chetzia bat chorin. What's the case of shivcharufa is when a shivcha of a woman who is half free and half a shivcha kananit has kiddushin with an eved ivri, and then she has an extramarital affair with another man. In that case, but she's muras their eved ivri. She's married. She has engaged to a kiddushin with an eved ivri. So what are you going to say? Alma bati rusi. You can see from this that she has the ability to make a rusin. She has the ability to have a rusin. Since the eved ivri can have kiddushin with her, that's, we see that she can have kiddushin. So if you want to say this, Rav Sheshet says to undermine my position, Amolo klachetz al Rabbi Shmuel. Go to Rabbi Shmuel. Why? Because it's a machlokas as to what a shivcha harufa is. We gave one interpretation of what a shivcha harufa is, which is chetzia bat chorin and chetzia shivcha kananit. The other interpretation, which is Rabbi Shmuel's interpretation, is that a shivcha harufa is actually a shivcha kananit legamre. She's a full shivcha kananit. Shuomer b'shivcha kananit hamurasa le'evet ivri. It's talking about a shivcha kananit who has kiddushin with an evet ivri. So says, so in that case, that's Xeris HaKatuv, that if she has an extramarital affair, then that's to bring in a Sham Shifcha Rufa, the man, and she gets Malkus. So that's the Xeris HaKatuv over here. But what do you see from this? V'Shifcha Kananit Bat Erusei. Right, so it's clear we know that a Shifcha, full-fledged Shifcha Kananit does not have the ability to have a Erusin. Nevertheless, what does Rabbi Shmuel call her? He says it's a Shifcha Kananit that has a Erusin with an Eved Ivri. So it's clear we can't interpret Erusin literally over here. Elamai Yisachalameimah, what are you going to say? My Mureset, Miuchedet. Mureset doesn't mean literally like the halachic term Mureset, which means Kiddushin, but rather Miuchedet, someone she was designated for. I mean, she was married to him in the sense that an Eved Ivri can marry a Shifcha Kananit, not in the sense of a halachic Kiddushin, but in the sense that they were together, they were a couple. So Hachanami, so too over here, you can explain the case by the other interpretation of Shivcha Rufa, which is not Rabbi Shmuel's interpretation, but the interpretation that it is a Chetzia Shivcha Kananit and Chetzia Bat Chorin, that when we say over there she's Mureset Eved Ivri, Ma Mureset means Miuchedet, not that she literally has a Rusin with him, but rather that it is a figurative term, not a Lachic term, but rather that they live together, and they're living together already makes crimson that status of husband and wife, not through Kiddushin, that will generate the problem of a extramarital affair with this Shifcha Harufa. So that you can't bring as a proof against me that a Chatzi Shifcha and a Chatzi Bat Chorin should be able to make Kiddushin, because even though it sounds like they're making Kiddushin through Mureset, that's not the case. Mureset is interpreted here not as a Lachic Mureset, but rather the figurative term, which means Miuchedet, that they are together. I say, Amar Rav Chetzia. So Chista says, Chetzia Shifcha v'Chetzia Bat Chorin. A woman who is half a shivcha v'chat barim, she nit katsha l'ruvain, that has kiddushin with Ruvain. V'in nishtachra, and then she is freed. V'chazra v'nit katsha l'shimon, and then she gets married to his brother. After she's freed, she accepts kiddushin from his brother, Shimon. U'meitu shnehem, and then Ruvain and Shimon both pass away. Mityabemet, she will be miyabem with their brother, Levi. V'ein ani koreba, yish'eshet shnehemitim. I don't say about this woman that she is the product of two brothers, because we know that in the Gemara in Yevamos, that a woman who's married to a brother, to Reuven, and then Reuven passes away, and Shimon does ma'amar with her. He does a kiddushin form with her, and then Shimon passes away. That woman will not marry Levi, because she is coming from two Yevamim, Mishnei Meitim, from two people who passed away, so Levi will not marry her. In this case, that's not true. So that even though she was quote-unquote married to Reuven and married to Shimon, nevertheless, she's not considered becoming from Shnei Metim. Why not? Monofshach. In Kiddushe Reuven, Kiddushin, if the first Kiddushin was Kiddushin, meaning that when he married her as a Chatzi Bat Chorin, that worked, then Kiddushe Shimon, Lav Kiddushin. Then whatever Shimon does is meaningless. Ve Kiddushe de Shimon, Kiddushin, if Shimon's Kiddushin are good Kiddushin, meaning that when Reuven did Kiddushin with her, Kiddushe Reuven, Lav Kiddushin, they were not good Kiddushin, and therefore when Shimon married, he was fully married. So she's either married to Reuven, or she's married to Shimon. She's not married to both of them. So whichever one she's married to, that singular brother can pass her on to Levi through Derech Yibum. So that's Rav Chista's interpretation, Rav Chista's statement here. So Rashi says over here, why did Rav Chista not give a conclusion, is she married to Reuven to Shimon? Because of the machlokis that we just had previously, that there is an uncertainty with the case of a woman who's a half shifcha, kananit, and half bat chorin, whether the kiddushin are tofsin or not tofsin. So he left it, no matter whose opinion you think, whether there is kiddushin, whether there is not kiddushin, either way, she still can be miyabim to Levi, because she's either married to Reuven or married to Shimon, she can't be married to both. Tosfos rejects Rashi's interpretation that way, because he says Rav Chista already clearly said that she is married, and he corrected Rabbi Rav Huna, who changed his whole position because of Rav Chista. So we know Rav Chista's position is that she is Mekadeshet. So why did Rav Chista leave it as a suffix? Because of the Gemara that's coming up right now. We're going to see, which we don't know. He says Mitkadeshet, but who is she Mitkadeshfu? And because of the suffix and the Gemara coming up, that's why Rav Chista left it as suffix over here. So let's read that Gemara. What is that? Itmar, Chetzi Shchetzia Shivcha V'Chetzia Bat Chorin. She's a half Shivcha Knanit, half a Bat Chorin. She Nitkasha the Reuven, that marries Reuven, Vin Nishtachara, and then she was freed. V'Chazrav Nitkadsha the Shimon, and then she goes out and gets married to Shimon, his brother. Again, in this case here, it's not relevant that they're brothers, it could be anybody that she gets married to. Rav Yosef Barcham Amar Rav Nachman Paku Kiddushin Rishon. When she is freed, the second half is freed, the Kiddushin of Reuven fall away, they disappear through her freedom. That takes her out of the picture, as Rashi says over here. Because afilu lemandamri mikudeshet, even according to the one who says in our previous gemara that she's mitkadeshet, when it's a half shifcha and a half bat chorim, it falls away. Why? Ba shichrur, the freedom comes v'yifgia, and takes away the kedushin mikudeshet the sheni. Shari nishtana gufa, because her body has changed. She has changed status now. And she becomes like a newborn person. At that moment of freedom, it changes her whole status. And since her status changes, everything's reset. And when everything's reset, Reuven's Kiddushin fall away. And therefore, she is married to Shimon in this case. Rabbi Zera Amar Rav Nachman Gamru Kiddushin Rishon. No, we look at it another way. The Kiddushin on the Chatzi Isha is good. That was done. The Chatzi Bat Chorin worked. Then when you free the second half, the Kiddushin spread over the whole woman. And therefore, Reuven's Kiddushin are tofes on the entirety of the woman. Once she's freed, they expand to the entirety of the woman. And Shimon's marriage to her is irrelevant or doesn't work at all. So now, Amar Rabbi Zera, Kavate Didi Mistabro. I want to prove to you that my position makes sense. What's Rabbi Zera's position? That the Kiddushin Rishon stick. Why? It says by Shifcharufa lo yumtu ki lo chufasha, right? That they will not die. In a case where Shifcharufa is miuchedet eved ivri, they're married, and, or married, quote-unquote, miuchedet, and then she has an extramarital affair, they do not die. Right? Normally, when you have niuf, by niuf, there's a chiyuv misa. So over here, there's no chiyuv misa because she is a Shifcharufa. Why is it there's no misa? Ki lo chufasha, because she was not freed. Chachupasha, had she been freed, yumtu, then they would have died. So meaning that the only thing that's stopping her from getting Misa, being like a regular extramarital affair or Niuf, is the fact that she wasn't freed. But if she's freed, there would be Misa here. How come when she's freed there's Misa here? Because the Kiddushin of the Zeved Ivri will expand to incorporate the whole woman once she is free. Well, that works well according to the interpretation that a Shifcha Charufa is half a half Shifcha Chananit and half Bat Chorin. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, that a Shifcha Rufa is a case of a full Shifcha Kenanit. Damer Shifcha Kenanit Hamuret Ad Evid Ivri. So how are you going to explain that? Why? When Hachanami Dechi Chufsha Yumtu, when she's freed, they'll have Kiddushin? No. There was no Kiddushin beforehand. There's no way that when she is freed, they will automatically create a Chi of Misa, because this Evid Ivri has no Kiddushin with the Shifcha Kenanit. The Shifcha Kenanit is unable to create any Kiddushin, so there must be a new Kiddushin afterwards. Elamai Yisachal Meimar, what are you going to say here? Shechufsha, right, that she was freed. And then she did Kedushin again. Then there will be Misa. Hachanami, in our case here, with a half Shifcha Kananit and half Bat Chorin, the interpretation will be, why didn't she die? Because she's not freed. Because if she's freed, Chuvsha, Chazar and Nitkatsha, and then she gets married afterwards, that Kedushin will be Tofes. When that Kedushin is Tofes, then there will be a Chiyuv Misa. So Amar Rav Huna Bar Katina, Amar Yitzchak, Masa B'Isha Achat, there was a case of a woman, Shechetzia Shifcha V'Chetzia Bat Chorin. She was half a Shifcha Kananit, half a Bat Chorin, but Kafu Et Rabah Vasa Bat Chorin. That they forced her master to free her and make her into a Bat Chorin. So the question is, why did they make her into a Bat Chorin here? Our Mishnah tells us, by the case of an Eved, where he is a half Eved Kanani and half Ben Chorin, we say that we force his Ravi, force his master to free him. Why do we force his master to free him? Because he's unable to mekayim the mitzvah of Pru Urvu. Since he's unable to mekayim the mitzvah of Pru Urvu, therefore we force his Adon to free him so that there'll be a solution for him. But a woman who is not mitzvah in Pru Urvu, why should we free her over here? Why should we let her go free? So that's the Gemara wants to know, whose position is it here that we're letting a Shifcha Kanani, who's half Shifcha Kanani, and half Bat Chorin go free, because there's no need to free her. What do you do? Have her work one day for her Adon, one day for herself. Lo Tikanta Netzama, we didn't fix her problem up. What problem does she have? She's not Chayevet in Pru Urvu, so there's no issue to deal with regards to her. So Gemara says, well, this is, who's this like? This is Gaman Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. This is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who believes, Rabbi Yochanan's in the interpretation that the mitzvah of Pru Urvu applies equally, since it's written in the plural, right? And Pru Urvu Milu, since it's written in the plural, it applies both in Ish and Isha. Men and women are equally chayavim in the mitzvah of Pru Urvu. That's the position of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So if they are equally chayavim Pru Urvu, then we do have a problem by Shifcha Kananit. Since the Shifcha Kananit is now needs to be mekayemet the mitzvah of Pru Urvu, we need to free her in order that she can get married. Once she gets married, she can mekayem Pru Urvu. Without that, she cannot be mekayemet Pru Urvu. So that's why. So this is according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, as opposed to the position of the Chachamim against Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, is that Pru Urvu only applies to man, because it says v'kivshua. Kivshua v'derech ish lichvosh v'derech isha lichvosh. That kivshua is written by Pru Urvu, and kivshua is only application by man, because that's the normal way of a man to go out to be kovesh, not the woman. So therefore, Pru Urvu only applies to a man. In that case, you would only free an Eved, a person who is a half Eved Kanani, a half Ben Chorin, because he has a mitzvah of Pru Urvu, but a woman does not have such a mitzvah, does not have a mitzvah of Pru Urvu. Now, the Gemara says another interpretation. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak lo minok hafgar na guba. We had this earlier in the Gemara, that they freed her here not because of the mitzvah of Pru Urvu, but because she had become a woman of ill repute. She was hanging out with different men. She was causing people to sin. And because of that, we said, well, let's get her free so that she can be married to a single man who will take care of her, or will make her stick to one person and not cause the problem of znus and me running around with other men. So it was an exceptional case because of Minhav Hefker Naoguba, and because of that, they freed her. So, and Tosos, just to point out here, Tosos back on Mem Aleph Amud Beis actually mentions this. He says, Tosos back there believes that even though a Shifcha Kananit is not mitzuvah in Pru Urvu, he still believes that she's mechuyevet in Leshevet, right? The din of Loto Ubra Leshevet Yitzara, right? That's the interpretation of the pasuk that says that the world was created to have people settle in the world. So Tosos back on Mem Aleph and Beis, when we spoke about it there, Tosos mentioned that those are two separate mitzvot. Many of you shown and believe they're a single mitzvah. Pru Urvu and Leshevet are all one big mitzvah. Tosos there actually divided and says Pru Urvu is one mitzvah, and Loto Ubra Leshevet is a separate mitzvah. And that even though women are not mitzvah in the mitzvah Pru Urvu, they might be a mitzvah in Leshevet. So in that case, what does Tosos do with our Gemara over here? It seems to learn to our Gemara that only by a case where she's Chayevet in Pru Urvu, well, we should be free her. Why, if she's Chayevet in Leshevet, why don't we free her for that reason? So Tosos back on Memorial Vibes says like this. How come we don't free someone who's a half shifcha and a half bat chorin, unless we have these other variables. Either Rabbi Yochanan ben Broku thinks that there's a mitzvah on a woman to be provable, or Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok, where there are no guba minog hefker. So what it's supposed to say, Ani mishum dekeven dola mifkida provu, since she's not commanded on provu, shema gam la'achar shenish tishtachra lo tikayim. That even after she's freed, she won't be committing mekayim la'shevet. So provu is a mitzvah that is a command. It's a tzivoy. And when it's a tzivoy, then we say that she's, when we're going to free her, she's actually going to go and mekayim that mitzvah. But on the other hand, Lashevet is not a tzivoy, it's just a negative statement that one who doesn't, right, that Hashem doesn't want the world to be unsettled. So one who does that, who leaves the world unsettled, it's an affront to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore they should get married. But it's not an active tzivoy. Since it's an active tzivoy, even if we free her, we're not sure she's going to go ahead and mekayim Lashevet. So according to Tosfos, even though a woman would be chayivt in the pasuk of Lashevet, but not in Puravu, that would not be sufficient to have her be freed. And we need another variable. Either the variable that Rabbi Yochanan Baruch adds, which is that she's chayivt in Puravu, or the variable that Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok says that it was nagu by minog hefker, and then therefore there's a reason to free her. Okay, now, next Mishnah. I have a Mishnah here that says, Amocher, and this is continuing along of the Tikkun Olam Mishnah here, it says, Amocher Avdola Ovde Kochavim, one who sells his Eved Kanani to non-Jews, or the Chutz Laretz, or sends him out, sells him, they live in Eretz Yisrael, and he sells them to someone in Chutz Laretz, Yotza Ben Chorim, there's a Knas, that the Eved goes free, meaning that if the Eved runs away now from his new master, this Oved Kochavim, then he is totally free, and he will not come back to the original owner, because that's a Knas Chachamim imposed on him from now when he leaves him. While he is with the Jew, he's Chayav in Mitzvot Ki'isha. Now when he sells him to a non-Jew, this person now becomes, what? Not Chayav in Mitzvot at all. He's going to lose his ability to do Mitzvot, and he loses his ability to have someone imposed on him because he doesn't have a Jewish owner anymore. So Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Amocher Avdolo Ovdei Kochavim, one who sells his Eved Kanani to a non-Jew, Yatza L'Cheirut, he's free, but Tzarech Get Shichrur. But he still needs a Get Shichrur from his original owner, Mirabo Arishon, from the first master. So why is that? Why does he need a Get Shichrur? Because all he did to him was free him. He gave away his Mamononos issue. He sold his monetary value. But he still has the Isur aspect of the Eved is still there. And since the Isur aspect of the Eved is still there, he needs a Get Shichrur. Now, how is this different than Mafkir Eved? Tosfos asks, well, when we're Mafkir Avdo, we say that the money is gone, and that the Isur that's remaining, he can't free him. There's Eino Takana because they have an Isur left. So Tosfos here says that this might be different. In the case of Mafkir, he disengages from any monetary aspect, whether it's his goof or his mamon, anything to do with the Eved, and he's totally gone, except for the Isur aspect, and that he can't get rid of simply with the Get Shechur. But as opposed to that, when he sells him to Ovi Kochavim, we've learned this earlier, that when you sell to an Ovi Kochavim, Ovi Kochavim can only make a kinyan on his Maisa Yadav, on his output. So when you sold the Eved Kanani to the Goy, right, the Ovi Kochavim, all he acquired was the output of this Eved. But the other monetary aspects of the Eved, which are what? Other monetary aspects of the Eved are, number one, Knas, that he collects Knas if he's killed, and number two is that if he has offspring, that those offspring belong to the owner, those rights still belong to the Jew, because he can't sell those rights. Those are rights in the goof of the Eved that he can't sell to Ovi Kochavim. So since he still has small monetary rights in this Eved, therefore he can go ahead and write the Get Shichur, even though there's Isur, but there's also a Mamon aspect that's been left over. And that's why you can write a Get Shichur here. So Rav Shimon Gamliel, b'med, or imim shaloka tova levo, no. The only case where he does need to get shechur is if the original owner did not, the Jewish owner did not write an ono on him. If he writes an ono on him, then he is free. What is an ono? Am I ono? I'm Rav Sheshis. He writes him like this. When you run away from this, I'm selling to, I have no dealings with you. Meaning that I disengage from you. I have no claims on you anymore. So once he's done that, he's removed any claim of Easter to him, and therefore once the Eved runs away, it's done. We're all done here, and you don't require any more Get Shichur. It's as if he wrote him almost a Get Shichur already. So now the Gemara says, Tarabanan, Lo ve'alav min ha'oved kochavim, person who lends money borrows money from a non-Jew, right? But he borrows money, and what does he use as collateral? He uses his Eved Kanani as collateral. Kevin Shasala Ovi Kochavim Nimuso. Once the Ovi Kochavim makes him into his Nimuso, whatever that is, Yatza L'Cheirut, he goes free. Meaning the Knas Chachamim enters as soon as he does this Nimuso. As soon as the Ovi Kochavim does this Nimuso, the Knas Chachamim jumps in and makes him a free man. My Nimuso. What is the Nimuso that we're talking about here? So Amar Avuna Bar Yudah Nashke. That means a Nashke. Nashke is a chain that was put on slaves to show that they were slaves, to show that the master owns them and he's a slave. So as soon as the non-Jew places on this Eved Kanani the chain, making him into his Eved, or exerting his rights to be lord over him, that already frees him. The Jew has already lost him, even though he's not taking his collateral yet. As soon as he exerts such ownership over him, it's done. So made the Rav Sheshet, Rav Sheshet questions this interpretation of Nimuso. Because you have a case, Harisim v'chakirut, v'arisei batei avot, v'obeid kochavim shemashkin sadeo l'Yisrael. So this is a case where you have a Jew. Harisim are sharecroppers, right? They work the field for a portion, a percentage of the output. So these are Harisim. These are Jewish people, Jewish workers, farmers that are on non-Jewish land. Non-Jews own the land, and then these Jewish farmers are sharecroppers on the non-Jewish land in Eretz Yisrael. V'chakirut. V'chakirut is that you get a fixed price. You don't get a percentage of the output, but he pays you a certain amount per year for working the field. V'arisei batei avot, and these are almost like serfs, where it's a pass down from family to family. Meaning that the goy passes down his land to his children, and the Jew passes down his rights to work this land to his children, and he works it they all work it for a percentage of the output of these lands. Ve'oved kochavim, and a non-Jew, shemashkan tzedeo l'Yisrael, gave over his field as collateral to a Jew, meaning that the oved kochavim borrowed money from a Jew, and he gave him his land as collateral for it. Afo pisha salo nimuso, even though he made a nimuso, p'turamina maser, it remains patur from masrot. So the assumption here is that a goy has the ability to be mafgia, to remove the chiyuv maestrot in Eretz Yisrael, that he can have land ownership, and his land ownership removes the chiyuv for maestrot. So in all these instances, it's still considered to be the land of the non-Jew, and because it's considered the land of the non-Jew, there is no chiyuv maestrot. So over here, he's going to say, v'isaka datka nashke, if you think the word nimuso means nashke, this chain that you used to put on an eved, sode, but nashke, why is that relevant by a sode? Over there, we're talking about fields, not an eved, so why would you use the word nimuso if it meant nashke over there? Elam Rav Sheshet Zman. He says, what is that? Nimuso means Zman, the time. What does that mean, time? It means that the loan, it's come up, the time, if I don't pay you by this certain time, then you will take possession of the collateral. So that's what Zman Nimuso means. Nimuso means it's come the time that I set that the collateral will become yours. So Gemara says, Kasha Zman Azman. Well, if that's the case, how do you explain the difference between the first brisa that said when you borrow and the Ovi Kochavim is a collateral, the Ovi Kochavim takes the Eved Kanani as collateral, there we say when the time comes, he gets the Eved Kanani, and it's fully his. Yet over here, in our case, by the fields, we say that even when the Zman comes, the Muso comes, nevertheless, the field remains in the possession of the Ovi Kochavim, not Chayv and Maestro. It doesn't go to the Jew's possession. So how come we have a different outcome in these two brisot? So where it says, Lokasho. Right? This man. So Gemara says, Kasha's man is man. No kasha. It's not a question. We're going to give three possible answers. One is, Hadamata Zimne. Hadalodamata Zimne. That the cases here are two different cases. By the case of the Eved Kenani, it's a case where that time that he set that the collateral will go to the Ovi Chavim, that came already. That time came. Our case of the field is a case where that time period did not come as of yet. So it didn't reach that time. Since we didn't reach that time yet, it hasn't gone into his possession. So Gemara says, Elagabi Eved Damata Zimne Tzrichel Meimar. What do you mean? Of course, if he sets the time and he says, at this time, you will take full possession of the collateral, why do you have to teach me that? Why do I need a brisa to teach me that this Eved Kanani becomes wholly owned by the Ovid Chachavim, therefore he goes free when that time comes? That's exactly what you said would happen. Why is that a chiddush at all? Ella, you must say, idi v'idi de lo mata zimne. Both of these are cases where the time has yet to come, meaning lo mata zimne is the time before the expiration of the loan, and you would take possession of the collateral. But lo kasha, hal gufa, hal peiro. The difference is whether he's taking possession of the goof or the peiro. So Rashi interprets over here, I'll give Rashi's interpretation, it was what's hal gufa, hal peiro. So Rashi says, hal gufa is by the Eved. So by the Eved, he says that once that time comes, you will take full possession of the Eved, his entire goof, meaning it'll be entirely yours. So now, and the Ovid Chachamim comes now and already takes possession of him now. He comes over before the time has come and he starts taking him over as taking possession of him. But Kevan, so the Rashi says, Kevan to Zizel, but Takanta the Rabbanon, since he was Mazalzel and the Takan of Rabbanon not to sell a Eved Kanani to Ovid Chachamim, that's told him, Kore Eved the Ovid Chachamim Katsua. They gave him a Knas, Afagav to Lomata Zimne, even though the time hasn't come yet. So even though the time hasn't come and the Ovid Chachamim doesn't really own him, but he's exerting ownership over him, that's sufficient already to have the knas go into effect. Because since this guy ignores what the chum say, we put the knas into effect even before the time comes. On the other hand, by the sod, where he sets the time, he says, at this point, from this point, you will not eat peirot. But when it comes to that time period, you will get the output of the field, right? Not the field itself. So Rashi says over this, we're indifferent, whether it's before the time comes or even after the time comes. Because even after the time comes, all you're entitled to in that case is the output of the field, not the field itself. And that's why the field remains tura min ha'mais rot. So Rashi says that, one, we have a goof, by the case of goof, it's a case where he gives the entirety of the ebed to the as collateral. And here we have an oveh chachamim oversteps his bounds and comes and takes possession of the eved before the time's up. Rashi says there's still a kenas that he loses out on it because chachamim say you're mezalzel in our takana, you're going to lose them even up front. The other case, by the sod, it doesn't matter if the time's come, doesn't matter if the time's come because he sold them these peirot. Since he sold them peirot, that is not, again, not valid as a full land sale. It doesn't give him possession of the property. He doesn't have possession of the property. It remains p'tura min ha'maaser. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos rejects Rashi's pshat because the Gemara says, either lo mata zimne. It sounds like that both cases are a case where the time has not come yet. According to Rashi's interpretation, the case of Peira can be even once the time has come. So Tosfos says that he understands ha'gufa ha'peira differently. So he says, come on, ha'gufa ha'peira. There's a difference between a field and an eved. Right, by an eved, even, right, though the time hasn't come, the goof, the eved is found in the house of the Oved Kochavim, and he's already taken him away from mitzvot, because he can move him beforehand, he takes him. And with the case of the, and therefore he goes free, because we're already having the problem of being mafkir him from the mitzvot. On the other hand, by the soda, he only gave him peiros, because the field remains in possession of the Oved Kochavim. Since until the Zman comes, then the field will transfer totally to the Jew. But until the point that time comes, all the Jew can do is take the production of that field. He can't take possession of the field, because the field doesn't move until that time comes. So as opposed to an Eved where the Oved Chacham can impose his ownership even before the Zman comes, because he can put him in his house, and that will cause him to lose the mitzvot and kick off the Knas Chachamim, so they'll go to the Chevrut. But then by the field, it won't come into possession of the Jew until what's set out in their shtar or in their agreement comes about. That's only once the Zman comes. But before that Zman, all he could take, be toe-faced until that Zman is the peirot, because he can't take the field. He has no rights to that field. That's the way Tosfos explains it. Vibai Sema, another possible answer about this steer in the Braitot in Zman, according to the explanation of Rav Sheshet, is Bishalov al Manat Lamashkano Velo Mashkano. So Rashi says this is a third interpretation. And the third interpretation is that he lent him money on the assumption that he will take it as a mashkon, velo mashkano, and he didn't take him as a mashkon. So here they set a fixed time when it comes. And when that time comes, even though he's entitled to take the collateral, he does not take the collateral. But yet the din will be different with regards to an eved. Even if he doesn't take him as collateral, he doesn't take possession of him, chamim were kones this person that he loses him right at that time. Since again, he was over, as Rashi says, gabi hai gavna kantzua rabban l'Yisrael. Vafa pishlo mashkano. Even though he didn't take the collateral yet, ha'ovid kachamim adayim be'eved zeh. Since he already gave it, the ha'ovid kachamim now owns him, that he loses that eved at that moment. As opposed to that, by the field, there's no kenas here. So therefore, when the time comes, if the Jew does not take possession of the field remains in the possession of the Oved Kochavim. As long as it's in the possession of the Oved Kochavim, then it's p'tura min ha'maisrot. That's what Rashi says is a third possibility. Tosfos says no, that he doesn't like the pshat of Rashi, right? Because this Gemara should have said, idi demata zimne. According to Rashi, this is both a case where the time came, I mean, his man came, and he just doesn't collect the collateral. The fact that it doesn't say idiv idiv matazimne, Tosfos sees this as an answer to the first answer we gave. We gave one answer, we rejected it because he said there's no chiddush in the fact that when the time comes for collateral, that the eved goes to the Oved Kochavim. That's not a chiddush. So then we gave a second answer about gufa and peiro. Now, Tosfos says this Ibaizema goes back to answer the problem we had with the first question. And that is what? When matazimne, what's the chiddush by eved? This is the chiddush. The chiddush is even though the zman has come, and he hasn't taken him physically as collateral, he's still sold to the Oved Kochavim already, and he goes the chayrut. So this goes back, according to Tosfos, to the first answer. The first answer was, in the field, it's a case where we didn't reach the time that he had said in the contract where the collateral would transfer ownership. Therefore, it's still in possession of Oved Kochavim. The case by the eved was a case where he did reach that time. If he did reach the time, what's the chiddush that it goes to Oved Kochavim, then he goes the chayrut? Because the chiddush is that it's a case where he didn't take him. He didn't take the eved yet as collateral. He's still sitting in the Jew's house. Nevertheless, the knas goes into effect right away. Since he is entitled to take him as a mashkon, it will go into effect. And that's the chiddush of the case. The mata zimne, that chiddush by the first answer is that even though the time has come and he has not taken him as a mashkon yet, that will be considered a violation of the Tekanas Chachamim, and he'll have a knas that will go to be a ben chorim. Okay, we'll stop here.